I want to welcome you to Mount Olive Church. So glad you're here this morning. And I want to say a big happy Mother's Day to each one of you in the room that is a mom. We want to celebrate you, and we want to, we thank the Lord for you. You're incredible, incredible, and I think often mothering is kind of an unappreciated role. It is thankless. It doesn't always get a lot of thanks, so the fact that we have a day in our calendar where it's like, we have to, is really important, because I think it shows sometimes that we want to, we just don't always take the time to do it. And I just want to give a shout out to my mom, who's undoubtedly listening, and probably my mother-in-law as well, and watching, because I don't know how it is for you, but in my situation, my mom, and often my mother-in-law as well, they're like my greatest cheerleaders. And moms are often your greatest fan, aren't they? And I can preach the worst message in the history of mankind, and my mom will still find something good to say about it. And you know I've done many of those. So we are starting a brand new series, not on mothers, kind of on mothers, but on broader than that, on this whole idea of parenting. I know often people are like, you know, whenever we preach a Mother's Day message or a Father's Day message, you know, it just kind of leaves us feeling a little bit guilty or pained or whatever it is, because, you know, the pastor said this, so I'm just going to take everyone off and just preach on the whole area of parenting, and we'll cover everyone. No, I won't do that. I was fairly hesitant. This is something I felt like we need to talk about as a church for a long time. But been very hesitant to preach on the topic and the concept of parenting. And there are a few reasons. One of the reasons is because I know that I and my family can and will be judged on my parenting. And it comes with the territory of being a pastor. I understand that and I accept that. But also when you preach on something, it just increases the target size. And so as you know, over the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years, remember the things I talk about and then look at my parenting and my kids and how they turn out. I just want to invite you to be gracious in your judgment, okay? That's what my desire is. Just be gracious in your judgment and as you assess, because it is just reality. It will happen. The other reason I am hesitant to preach on this topic is because I am not the expert parent. And if you know me, you know I'm not the expert parent. And so I don't want you to hear it throughout this series that, oh, here's, you know, pastor, and he's figured it all out, and, you know, like, oh, poor us, we're just not doing a good enough job. Not at all. In fact, I want you to know that I am in the trenches with you. I am struggling along with you, and many of the things that we're going to talk about from Scripture, I am wrestling through and trying to figure out, and often I fail, and sometimes I hit it on the nail, but most of the time I fail, right? It's just the reality of me. So I am not the expert parent, and I want you to know that as well. So with these two things in mind, why would I still choose to do a series on parenting? Here's why. Because parents are important, and I think you're more important than you ever could imagine or realize. You are so, so important, and it is a great responsibility and privilege to be a parent. Authors of Handing Down the Faith, Amy and Christian, write this. This is amazing. They say, all research in the United States today shows that parents are by far, the most important factor influencing their children's faith, their religion, not only as youth, but also after they leave home. So we're going to talk about parents, grandparents, parenting adult children. It's all included, okay? So by far the most important factor. And then they go on to say, not clergy, that's pastors, not religious schools, not youth ministers, not neighborhoods, not Sunday school, not missions trips, service projects, summer camps, peers, or even the media. And I know we're tempted to think, what chance do we have as parents in the technological world we live in? By far the most important in influencing their faith is not the media. It's parents. That is who matters here and now. So I just want to encourage, this is why we're doing this series. And of course, this just lines up with what Josh already read earlier. It lines up with what Scripture teaches us, the importance of parents and grandparents in transferring and bringing on the faith to the next generation. So parents, you are so, so important. The other reason why I want to do this series is because the spread of the gospel and the making of disciples depends on it. Most people who come to follow Jesus did so from a childhood age. And this is, and as we're going to see, this is discipleship all through and through. Now, throughout this series, you may find yourself getting frustrated. Because through this series, we are going to look at what Scripture says, and Scripture, mostly as it relates to parenting, speaks about principles, not specifics. And you've got that 2-year-old right now, and you're like, what do I do with them? You have that 13-year-old right now, and you're like, but what do I do with them? And you have that 36-year-old right now going through the business, or they're divorced, and as an adult parent, parenting an adult child, you're like, what do I do right here? And the Scripture just doesn't tell us. But it gives us principles. And so what I want to invite you to do, if you're not in a small group, you should think about entering a small group and wrestling through these principles in community. If you're married, if you're single parenting, that's going to be a different challenge. Find another mom or dad or other moms and dads and say, here's the principle we wrestled through in Scripture. How do I apply that in my child's life? If you're married, undoubtedly, as a couple, wrestle through these principles together. Do it in community. The other thing about this is it's not only principles, that it is discipleship. And some of you may be wondering, okay, so can I just take a break for the next few weeks? Because I don't have children, and I'm not planning to have children, so this doesn't apply to me at all. And I want to tell you, it absolutely does. Parenting and discipleship are so interrelated. There's so much correlation. There's so much overlap that almost all the principles from parenting are simply principles about discipleship. And we're all called, Matthew 28, to go and make disciples. And the mission of our church is to see people become devoted followers of Jesus. So as you consider walking alongside some people, now there may be some principles you're like, I don't know if I can apply that one. But for many of these, as you journey alongside others in seeing people become devoted followers of Jesus, you can apply these same principles as well. All right, so let's dive in. In this series, we're gonna have some fun, because parenting is sometimes just like hard, right? So we're gonna have some fun in this series, and throughout the series, we're gonna do some myth busters, some things that we as parents are tempted to believe along the journey of parenting that just aren't true. Sometimes they will relate with the message, and sometimes they're just gonna be kind of fun myth busters on the side. So the myth buster for today kind of applies, kind of not. But here it is. The myth buster is this: who they are today is not necessarily who they will be. And sometimes as parents, in the middle of our parenting, we can fall for the idea that who they are today is who they will be forever. And we just throw up our hands, we're like, oh, what are we gonna do? And they spill the milk and we're like, life is over, right? And we just think they're never gonna change. I was talking to a mom a number of months back, and she was just talking about her newborn. And it's like the newborn's just not sleeping. And this was just a terrible, terrible difficulty. And if you have had a young newborn who does not sleep, you know this is life and death. It is the end. Because here's how it works. When your newborn doesn't sleep, then you don't sleep. And when people don't get sleep, they become monsters. It's just how it works. And you felt that. And you have wondered, who they are today, is this who they're going to be forever? And I encouraged the mom, kind of as a joke, but kind of serious. I said, you need to journal this right now. And in 15 years, you need to read this entry. Because this has happened in our life. We had an Uber, our first child, was a terrible sleeper. She was awful. We would have to bounce her for hours. She wouldn't fall asleep till 2, 3, 4 in the morning. We'd just be bouncing her, trying to get her to sleep. And now as a teenager, I have to bounce on her bed for hours just to get her to wake up. Who they are today is not necessarily, but some of you parents of teenagers, you think, will my child be this way forever? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. So what I want to invite us to do today, what I think Scripture is going to invite us to do today, is to consider, what does it look like to parent with the end in mind? And sometimes we get so focused on the immediate, and we think, are they ever going to change, or is this going to last forever? What would it look like to pull out a few thousand feet and say, what matters most? Does it matter in 20 years that this is going on? What would it look like for us to parent or grandparent or disciple with the end in mind? I know as Mandy and I in our parenting, our kids go through phases, right? They go through seasons. And often, you know, there's this rebellious season or this thing where they're pushing boundaries and different things are happening. And we have to ask each other, we wrestle through, is this a season that they're going to kind of naturally grow out of? Because I had that season, and I bet you had that season. Or is this like a behavioral pattern we kind of need to be a bit more strong on? And we have to discern that. We don't always know. Is this something they're just going to kind of naturally grow out of? Or is this something we need to kind of be a bit more strong because it's a behavioral pattern? Right? What does it look like to parent with the end in mind? Sometimes in the middle of our parenting, we think getting the A grade in grade 7 is the most important thing that ever matters. My guess is there are grandparents in the room that look back to when their kid, who's 50 now, was in grade 7, and that A didn't matter as much as they thought in the moment. So what would it look like to parent, to kind of zoom out and say, what matters most? I think what Scripture is going to show us today is this. See what is, and gain the capacity to call out what can yet be. See what is. It's not saying, well, what's now doesn't matter, but it's the ability to call out, and this is true of discipleship, to call out what could yet be, but you don't see it yet. Another way to say this is fan into flame a spark. The coals that are there, but maybe they're not a fire yet, fan into flame the spark that's already there. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is a letter the Apostle Paul writes to a younger guy. He's an older man, presumably by this point, to a younger man in ministry whose name is Timothy. Paul, in this letter, calls Timothy his son. He is not his biological father. I'm just going to say that right now. Paul is not his biological father, but he considers himself his spiritual father, the spiritual father of Timothy. And in this letter, I think he gives us some ideas of what it looks like to do this, to see what is and call out what could yet be, to fan into flame the spark that's already there. As he disciples, as he spiritually parents his younger son, Timothy. Now, I think this can apply so well to parenting as well. He writes this, starting in verse 3, after calling him my son in the faith. He says, I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. I thank God, and I constantly remember you in my prayers. I constantly bring God before you in my prayers, as I am thankful to God for you. Now, here's what we're going to learn about Timothy. If you continued reading in the letter, Timothy is not a perfect guy. Timothy has some problems. Paul spends a lot of time addressing some of the difficulties and challenges. Even in the verses itself that we're going to look at today, there were challenges that Timothy had. But Paul does this thing in almost all of his letters that he writes, where he starts them by saying, I thank God for you. Even to the church in Corinth, if you know anything about the church in Corinth, read 1 and 2 Corinthians, they were messed up. Even in the worst of situations, Paul is able to say, I thank God for you. And he's not blowing smoke. He's not being inauthentic, just trying to build them up so when he beats them down, they're feeling a little better about themselves. Not at all. He is authentic, completely authentic in his thankfulness to God. And here's why. Paul chose, and it is a choice, Paul chose to live his life in a posture of gratitude and thankfulness. It was a posture he chose, and it is a choice. He chose to see life through the lens of thankfulness. This does not mean he did not see problems. Oh no, you read his letters, he saw all the problems. It simply means he did not see the problems at the detriment of not seeing what was good there, the spark that was already there. And so I want to ask you today, are you thankful? I mean, truly thankful for your children. Maybe they were up all night last night, or they didn't come home till 2 in the morning and curfew was 11. And sometimes in the middle of the mess of parenting, if we're honest with ourselves, are we really thankful for our children? Psalm 127 says, children are a gift from the Lord. Sometimes. That's what it says. No, it doesn't. It says, children are a gift from the Lord, a reward. They are a reward from him. But sometimes in the middle of the difficulty of parenting, we can lose the posture and lens of thankfulness for our children. When they're in their rebellious 16-year-old stage, Or they're going their own direction at 34 or 44, and you're like, what are you doing? And I wonder if there is a tension in your relationship with your children right now, could it be because you have not taken a posture of true thankfulness to them? Might be something to consider. Paul says, I thank God. He's not just making stuff up. He's fully authentic. I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did. With a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. See, Paul is fully invested in Timothy. And one of the ways you can see if you're fully invested in someone or something is how you're invested in it when they're not around. And Paul says, I haven't been in your physical presence, but I am fully invested in you. One of the most powerful things and the things that we can take on as parents and disciple makers is to pray for those that God has put in our life to influence. Praying for our children. As I remember you in my prayers, he goes on and says, recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I recall your tears. Probably when Paul left Timothy, Timothy cried. He was like, we have such a great relationship. You're my mentor. You're like my spiritual father. You can't leave me. See, what this shows is the closeness of relationship between Paul and Timothy, and in almost every good discipleship relationship. Do you know what's most important? Relationship. And this is true of parenting. In fact, studies have been done and research shows that the quality of your relationship with your children is more important in passing on the faith from one generation to the next, is more important than the quality of the content you teach them. The quality of your relationship, the warmth in which you have with your child, emotional connection, is more important in passing on the faith than the quality of the content. Maybe you're not that great at the quality of content. They had a connection. This is true of discipleship as well. It's so, so relational. He goes on and says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. Here's what Paul says. I am your spiritual father, but he understands that there is not just one spiritual parent. In discipleship, it takes the church, it takes the community, it takes more than one person. So he says, yeah, I might be your spiritual father, but you have a grandmother and you have a mother. There have been all kinds of people building into your life. And here's what I'm reminded of. I am reminded of your sincere faith. There is a spark already there. And I'm going to call out your spark. And he goes on and says just that. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He's already fanned into flame and called out Timothy's faith. Now he calls Timothy to fan into flame his own gifting, both his faith and the thing God had given him to go and do in the world for the kingdom of God. Paul calls both of them out and he starts to fan into flame and he encourages Timothy himself to fan into flame these things that have been given. This is discipleship. We've already seen two main players in the role of discipleship in the third's coming, but I'm going to give it away. In discipleship, there's always three main players. There is my part. There is my part. This is what I'm responsible for in the discipleship process, as we are called to go and make disciples. In parenting, it's called parents. You have a role to play, an important role to play. And we're called to do our part, but guess what? It's just one out of three. And it may, the other two parts may be more important. There is my part, there is their part. Notice Paul takes on the responsibility of his part. He says, I remind you of your faith, your sincere faith. I'm going to tell you and continue to build you up. He does his part, but then he also tells Timothy to do his part. Remember, what did he say? I remind you, Timothy, to fan into flame your gift. This is what you're responsible for, Timothy. Do your part in the discipleship process. And then thirdly, and we're going to see this in the next verse, there's God's part. God plays a role, undoubtedly, in the journey of us coming to know and the journey of us following him. That's why he says, for this reason, I remind you, Timothy, to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you. It's already there. Let me remind you of it. Through the laying on of my hands. And here's God's part. Four, the spirit God gave us does not make us timid. See what he's just fanning. Look who you are, your faith. Look what God's been doing in gifting you. Look what God has given you through the Spirit. God did not give us a spirit that makes us timid, but he has given us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. What Paul does is he sees what is, and he starts to call out what could yet be. See, many people believe that Timothy was actually a very timid person. That's why Paul had to tell him, you don't have to be timid, because he was so timid. See, what Paul does, he says, I see what's there, but I also, by the power of God, see what could yet be. This is not who you are in the person of Jesus. God has given you a spirit. And this isn't the first time this happens in Scripture. It happens over and over. Maybe the most famous time is with Gideon. You know the story of Gideon? This guy who is an Israelite while the Midianites, a nation was oppressing them. And he's hiding out from the Midianites. And God, by the angel of God, could be pre-incarnate Jesus, but the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon and says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And I'm sure Gideon looked around and said, who are you speaking to? Because I don't see anyone mighty, or I don't see a warrior here. I see someone hiding out. And the angel of the Lord is not just blowing smoke. He's not just saying stuff that's inauthentic. What he says is, I see what is, but I know what could be. Why? Because the Lord is with you. The situation has changed because God is in the equation. Paul does the exact same thing. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid. It's no longer your reality. Step into the new reality, fanning into flame. God's Spirit gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And so he says, so do not be ashamed. Because of this new reality, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in the suffering, in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Remember, it's going to be hard. You're going to need perseverance. Remember, there could be some suffering, but don't be ashamed. Why? Because God's Spirit is not a spirit of timidity. It's a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. See, Paul simply sees what is, and he calls out what could yet be. He fans into flame the spark that's already there. So I want to ask you as parents today, those of you who are in a mentorship, discipleship relationship, as you are living in the mess and the ground level and it's crazy and it's like there's diapers and there's running to the sports event and the dance event. It's just, you know, there's the adult children's struggles and you're in the middle of it. I want to ask you this question. What are you fanning into flame? And there is no neutral. There's no neutral. It's like I'm not fanning anything. We are all fans. In fact, as parents, we carry two things. We carry a fan and we carry an extinguisher. And we're going to talk about the extinguisher next week. There's no neutral. You will fan something into flame. My question is, what are you fanning into flame? What are the things that you're building and encouraging and influencing as you are as a parent, the greatest influencer of your children, especially younger children, and even as adult children, you're top five at least. You are such a huge influence. What are you fanning into flame? And you're like, what does that mean? Let me say it another way. What are the things that you celebrate? What are you celebrating with your kids? What are you fanning into flame? I think as we pull out from kind of ground level, I think the things we would probably agree we want to fan into flame are two things. And there'd be more, but here's two important ones. But as we get onto ground level, we can get confused and we can start celebrating the wrong thing. I think we would probably agree if we pulled out from the immediate that character is always greater than accomplishments. 60 years from now, how they did in track meet in grade two, probably not as important as their character. 40 years from now, how they did on that grade 10 math test, or if they won the provincials at the basketball tournament, my guess is it's going to mean a whole lot less than character. See, when we zoom out, some things start to become clear. But sometimes when we get into the middle of it, we can start celebrating the things that we'd say, that's actually not most important. I'll share with you one struggle I have in this. I love sports, you know that, and I am extremely competitive and passionate. I don't think that's wrong. I haven't found a verse in the Bible that says that's wrong, so I'm going to continue it. But there are some things I need to be aware of in this. And along the way, I can start celebrating the accomplishments of my children rather than building into the character of my children. Let me give you an example. So my child plays a sports game, and they do awesome. They're like the star of the game. They win the game. And yet in the moment, in the middle of the game, they showed some bad character. After the game, because they won and they did so well, the temptation for me as a parent is simply, oh, you know, it's just a little bit of bad character. We're celebrating the accomplishment. But in that moment, if I was to pull out and say, what's most important? I would have a kind conversation with my child about what happened in the middle there. Let me turn the tables. My child plays a game. This sometimes happens. They were terrible. The team lost. But they showed amazing character. In that moment, I can be tempted just to talk about what could you do better next time to win? Because I'm so extremely competitive and passionate. But if I was to pull out and take a bigger picture view, what conversation would I have with my child in that moment? I would celebrate. You were amazing. You played terrible. But you as a person, which is so much more important than the what you accomplished. You as a person, I saw godly character in you. And I'm going to call that out. And I'm going to fan into flame that. Because that's what matters. Maybe said another way, in a more spiritual way. Godliness is always greater than accomplishment. Godliness is always greater than accomplishment. Years ago, I had a teenager, and we were chatting, and I think the teenager was struggling because his father was really passionate about a particular hobby that he had and wanted him to excel in this hobby. And along the way, I think the child was wondering, what's more important, like that I do really well and go on to be have a career in this, or is godliness more important? And I did something, and I don't do this all the time, but I knew his father, and I knew that if he was pinned against the wall, he'd say, this is most important. So I simply told the teenager, I said, go to your father and say, Dad, what would make you proud of me in 30 years? If I had a career in a particular area, very successful, but was on the fence with my faith, or that I was fully passionate in my faith and just worked a regular, I don't know, some kind of job. And I know those aren't mutually exclusive. You could be a star of something and be passionate. But I wanted the father to be pinned against the wall in the sense that what matters most, to kind of go up above the immediate to see what matters most and what are you fanning into flame? So I want to ask you, what are you fanning to flame? What do you see? What do you need to call out? If you were to zoom out a little bit from the immediate context you find yourself in, and I'm in the trenches with you, I told you that. This does not come easily. And maybe for you, like, you gave sports example. I'm not a sports guy. Then change it to career. Change it to scholastic. Change it to dance. Change it to karate. Whatever it is that you find yourself being extremely passionate about in the moment, you got to pull out and say, wait, what's going to matter in 30 or 40 years? And what would it look like to call out what is or what could yet be, to fan into flame the spark that's already there. Now, you have to remember, when you fan a spark, it's not like a hurricane wind, right? I don't want you to go from this message and be like, we're changing everything. You know, we're like, you're just going to run right over them. No, no, that puts the fire out. Fanning is gentle. How could you fan into flame? So here's two things. One thing that kind of goes into two that I want you to do is you think about yourself as a parent, whether you've got adult children, teenage children, toddler children, or if you're in a discipleship relationship, which we're all called to be at some point, influencing others with the gospel. Here's what I want all of us to do this week. As parents, I would like you to zoom out this week. Take a helicopter ride, figuratively speaking. And just say, okay, in the way that I'm encouraging, influencing, fanning into flame the things of my kids, are they things that matter most? Is it built around godliness and character and them being followers of Jesus? Is that what I celebrate most? And then this week, as you dive in, you want to ask the question, okay, if that's the long term, if I'm parenting with the end in mind, how do I enter diaper stage right now? How do I enter two-year-old toddler that's throwing things at me? How do I enter the dad watch me season where it's like, I can't watch you anymore. Like, just watch me, dad. Just watch me, mom. Right? It's like, okay, I just got. How do I enter that season? How do I enter the grade 6, 7, they're just pushing boundaries season? How do I enter, they're becoming their own as teenagers? How do I enter them adult? How do I enter the ground level where I live with the end in mind? What would change on street level? What would I celebrate? What would I fan into flame? And in combination with that, I said it's one but kind of two, this is kind of two. As you kind of zoom out and you see and you consider, I want you to think about your kids this week. And I want you to think about, and maybe you haven't been thankful for them because they're in that stage and it's hard to be thankful for them. But I want to consider, what's a spark that's there? And what's something with my kid that I want to call out this week and say, I see this in you, and by God's strength, I see it growing in you, son, daughter. You can do this. You have not been given a spirit of timidity. You've been given a spirit of power, love, self-discipline. Who is it, younger than you, that you see that you could call out into something more? See what is and call out what can yet be. Peekaboo. I see you. What could you fan into flame where there's a spark already there? You know, we're gonna have a closing song, and I know this whole area of parenting, it can feel like the trenches. And it can be a challenge. And so we're going to have an opportunity for you to receive prayer. Maybe it's prayer for your own parenting. Maybe you didn't have the greatest example and you're wondering, how do I do this with my kids? Maybe you just want prayer for your kids or grandkids or somewhere along the way. There's going to be people up front here that are going to be very willing to pray with you as we journey and struggle and wrestle through these principles together. So we invite you to do that. Why don't we stand? I will pray, and then we will sing together. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you, Father, that you are a parent that doesn't give up on us. You're our heavenly Father. And even when you could have thrown us to the wayside because of our sin, as David has already mentioned, you sent your son Jesus. You saw what could be because of your character and your power. Father, I pray that we, as your children, would follow in your footsteps and call out what could yet be because of your character and your power in the lives of those we disciple, in the lives of our children and grandchildren. And I ask this, the courage and wisdom to do this. I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us today. We trust you have been encouraged and challenged in your faith journey. If you're desiring prayer, want more information on our church, want to partner with us or be involved in any way, please go to our website at MountOliveEFC.com. We'll see you next time.